To the brightest audience in the country, I am Bob Enyart, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. I'll give you the headlines of what we'd like to talk about in tonight's show. This shadow protesters protest the shadow government. Shadow protesters are now protesting the shadow government. I know they're outside of our bunker right now. You know, we've had this website for years, shadowgov.com. And then George W. Bush has revived the real shadow government. Just in case Washington, D.C. ever is destroyed, then we have a couple hundred officials around the country to try to put the pieces together. Well, we've had our shadowgov.com for years, and now the news is out. People are upset about the shadow government, and shadow government attracts shadow protesters. That's pretty funny. Oh, but wait a minute. That's from The Onion. Come on. What kind of producer do I have here? The Onion isn't a real newspaper. They make their stuff up. They make their stuff up. Shadow protesters protest the shadow government. Give me a break, guys. I need true stories here. True. Okay, this one is true. A North Buffalo man, New York State, admitted this past week that he deliberately beat his pregnant girlfriend to abort their unborn baby. What a terrible tragedy. And he's been convicted. First time in more than 30 years that anyone in New York State was convicted on abortion, a felony abortion. I've got a friend. Actually, he died just a couple years ago. But what a neat guy. And in fact, his daughter died too, come to think of it. My two dear friends, and he used to be pro-choice. In California, he arranged an abortion, and he spent 5 years in jail for arranging an abortion back in the 60s. And when Roe v. Wade was passed, then he's still sitting in jail. And they figured, well, we might as well let him out because now it's legal to kill babies. You know, if we had the death penalty back then for murdering unborn children, it would have been a lot harder to legalize abortion if we had been executing abortionists. You know, that's why God gave the death penalty for some reason. Here we have in Dundalk, Maryland, a high school football star, 17 years old, was holding up a liquor store with a pellet gun. They had been robbed twice the previous month, and so a clerk went around the back, came in the front door, and shot the 17-year-old to death. So he's dead, and the police have not charged the clerk. Praise the Lord that the police have not charged the clerk. Self-defense. Somebody's holding a gun at you. You know, in the Bible, God talks about if someone breaks into your home, somebody breaks into your home and you kill them, is it a crime? Is it a crime? I'm not going to give the answer. Anybody out there, if anybody out there knows the answer, call us up at 1-888-8-N-Yard. Now, that's the answer line. 1-888-8-N-Yard. All right? Okay, we got this email, and I don't know where it's from. It's from some guy at MSN.com, nice guy. He writes, "Hey guys, just thought I'd drop you a line concerning this nicer than God idea that you have going on your shows. Man, I got to say, this is refreshing, although somewhat controversial. If you haven't guessed, I'm a Christian, 25 years old. Oh, from Arizona, it says it right there. Another listener from Arizona. Praise the Lord. Yeah, nicer than God. Some of our newer listeners won't know what we mean by that phrase. And what we mean by that phrase, now, we have a pamphlet. When people order materials from us, they can have any of our pamphlets. They just have to ask for them. And we have a pamphlet called Nicer Than God. And it shows how the current Christian, the demand of how we behave as Christians, when we, whether we witness in normal life, if we're confronting unbelievers, they demand that we act in a way that's nicer than God. Nicer than the apostles acted, nicer than the prophets, nicer than Jesus, nicer than God. And what we think, you know, guys tend to be tougher than women. Guys are a bit more confrontational, a bit more harsh. But the Christian church has been feminized. Jesus has been feminized. Now, Christian leaders, so many, and Christians, we all have to be nice all the time, always. You can't ever ridicule. It doesn't matter how many times in the Bible God ridiculed the wicked, or it doesn't matter how many times in the Bible prophets mocked the wicked, or that there was sarcasm used. It doesn't matter. Name-calling, all the name-calling in the Bible, all that is irrelevant. There's a new standard of godliness that's put forth by the edict of cliché. And when cliché speaks, you better shut your Bible, because it just doesn't matter. If the Bible is filled with examples of name-calling against the wicked, you see, name-calling has a place because it helps to stigmatize a behavior. And when a certain behavior, let's say homosexuality, when that behavior is not stigmatized, then what happens? When that behavior is not stigmatized, then more young people will grow up thinking it's just an alternative lifestyle. All right. Okay, by the way, my question has been answered correctly by people instant messaging me, but I'm not going to read their answers. What does the Bible say if somebody breaks into your home and you kill him? Is it a crime? Are you guilty? Yes or no? The answer line 1-888-836-9278. So this email from Arizona, the guy says, I cannot argue with your opinion on judging rightly. We have another pamphlet. It's called Judge Rightly. It's actually titled Judge Rightly is Not Some Guy's Name. Now, one of the Christian cliches, and when this cliche is uttered, you better shut your Bible. You better shut your Bible when this cliche is uttered. And the cliche is this. Don't judge. Don't judge. It doesn't matter that Jesus said in John 7:24 to judge with righteous judgment. That doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that the Bible tells us, Paul says, that do you not know that we will judge the angels? Don't you know that we will judge the world? He who has the mind of Christ judges all things. Paul tells us all this in Corinthians. He said, I'm ashamed of you. Can't you judge the least things? But Christians have let the atheists tell us which verses to quote.
Hello, my name is Jason Troyer, and I do volunteer work here at Bob Enyart Live, including the commercials you hear every night. I moved to Colorado from Indiana almost 3 years ago to help Bob and his ministry because they changed my life. I'd like to invite you to benefit from this ministry as well. Easter is just around the corner, and despite what you may have heard, Easter is not about cute fuzzy bunnies or colored eggs. Easter is the day our Savior Jesus Christ rose from the dead just as he said he would. On Easter Sunday, Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, will not only talk about the resurrection, he will also present the evidence for the resurrection. Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and rising again the third day is not a myth or a fable. It's a fact. If you live in the Denver area, whether you're a Christian or just have questions, we want to invite you and your family to join us March 31st at 10:50 for this special sermon. You'll also have the opportunity to not only meet Bob, but also Doug McBurney, who sits in with Bob Friday nights, Tony Funderburk, who sings the opening theme to Bob Inyart Live, and even little old me. For directions to the church, call us at 303-463-1707 or go on the web to denverbiblechurch.org and look at our map. For those who don't live in Colorado or can't make it, we'll also make audio cassettes of the Easter sermon, as we do with all sermons, so you won't miss out on this great evangelistic tool. For those of you who have never ordered from Bob Inyart Live, we'll even make this tape available free of charge. Call today to reserve your copy, 1-888-836-9278.
We're back, Bob Inyart Live, 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. So to finish that up, yeah, judging, there's a book in the Bible called Judges. If we're not supposed to judge, what do we do, throw that book out? Maybe Christians should not be judges because they're not supposed to judge. When Jesus said, judge not, he said, don't judge like a hypocrite. First, stop doing the same thing your neighbor's doing, then you can judge him. All right, and here's an email from Canada. Hey, Bob, Canada, this guy wants to know how he could have a Christian radio show like this one in Canada. And I actually emailed him back a couple days ago saying, if you went on the radio in Canada and said homosexuality was a perversion, that they might throw you in jail because they don't allow that to be said in Canada. So he asked me, well, how did you get started anyway? And I'm emailing him back right now. I'm replying that I typed here, I walked into a radio station and 1 hour later, I was taking calls on the air. That's it. Okay, and that's it. That's how it happened here in Denver. Okay, now, let's go to the phones. And I think we have a homosexual on the line who disagrees with the show I did with Eva the Evil Lesbian recently. Let's go to Rusty, speak your mind. Hello, Rusty.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I disagreed with your show about Ava. I just had different answers to the questions that you had. I saw what she was doing, and, you know, she was on a different level than what you are. And they seem to think that I am on your level, so.
All right, so you didn't disagree. You just had different answers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I agreed with her. I disagree with you.
Oh, isn't that what I said, that you disagreed?
With you. I disagree with you, but she wasn't able to do that. She's not used to dealing with people.
Okay, so anyway, so since you and I disagree, that means you approve of homosexuality?
Well, of course I do.
Well, okay.
Why wouldn't I?
Well, I didn't know you until I just took your call, so a lot of people approve and a lot of people disapprove. So, okay, you approve of homosexuality. Let me ask you a couple questions, Rusty. So you think it's right for people of the same sex to have relations together. Do you believe in absolute morality?
No, I don't.
Do you believe in absolute right and wrong?
No, I don't.
Do you believe that it was absolutely wrong for the Nazis to murder 6 million Jews, men, women, and children?
You mean, do I believe that it was absolutely wrong for Hitler himself?
No, Hitler didn't kill anyone. I said the Nazis. Rusty, it's an easy question. You can answer yes, no, or I don't know.
Do you believe it was absolutely wrong for Hitler to come up with that. Yes, I did.
Do you believe it's absolutely wrong? I'll just say it again, and maybe you could answer yes, no, or I don't know. Do you believe it was absolutely wrong for the Nazis to murder 6 million innocent men, women, and children?
No, not the way you're putting it. No.
Okay, do you believe it was wrong? Okay, I'll put it with fewer words. Do you believe it was wrong to murder 6 million Jews?
Yes.
Do you believe it was absolutely wrong?
I believe it was absolutely wrong.
Okay, 1 minute ago, we have it on tape, you said you did not believe in absolute right or absolute wrong.
Not the way you're putting it, no, I don't.
I asked you, do you believe in absolute right and absolute wrong? I'll ask you again, you can clarify for the audience. Rusty, do you believe in absolute right and absolute wrong?
Not in a group. No, not like you're putting it. No.
I want to know from you if it was absolutely wrong to murder Jews in World War II.
Yes, it was absolutely wrong, in my opinion, to murder Jews.
Rusty, if you
II.
Were never born, right? Were you alive during World War II?
No, I wasn't.
So nobody cared about your opinion.
Exactly.
Back then, was it absolutely wrong to murder Jewish children?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me, yes, it was.
No, you weren't born back then. It doesn't matter. Nobody cared about your opinion.
Exactly. Well, why would they
back,
care about your
Rusty,
opinion either?
Listen. See if you can stick with this. See, you're going to call in to defend homosexuality, and I don't think you're Rusty. I don't think you're capable of understanding the most simple question of right and wrong. And one of the most simple questions is there such a thing as right and wrong? So was it absolutely wrong? Forget you, because really, most people don't know you, right?
Right, and I'm
so your opinion isn't going to affect whether someone halfway around the world gets murdered or not. So could you tell the audience if it's absolutely wrong to murder Jewish children?
It is absolutely wrong to me, Bob.
You are a blithering idiot, Rusty. I couldn't give a rip about you.
Then why are you asking?
Okay,
me?
Well, here's your answer. Your answer is no. You're saying to me, and that means it's subjective. Rusty,
right.
Maybe you never learned the meaning of the word absolute. I don't care about your subjective opinion. Nazis thought it was fine to murder Jews. They thought it was okay.
And you think it's fine to murder homosexuals. I don't understand what
Rusty,
the difference is.
Rusty, we're not going to get to homosexuals until we find out if you could understand right from wrong. It's wrong to murder Jews. It's absolutely wrong to murder Jews.
No,
it's wrong to murder anyone. Now,
no.
Rusty, I'll ask you last time, and if you don't answer right, we'll go to a different topic. Is it absolutely wrong to murder Jewish children?
Yes.
Yes?
I guess I'm trying to answer right so you will not have a heart attack.
No, I'm trying to teach you something about right and wrong that you have not learned your entire life until now. You've grown. How old are you, Rusty?
I'm 35.
At 35 years, you have not learned that there's such a thing as absolute right and absolute wrong. Is it absolutely wrong for a man to violently rape a woman?
In my opinion, yeah.
No! Rusty, do you have an IQ deficiency?
No, I sure don't.
For the rest of this call, don't say in my opinion. Because you and I, we have different opinions, but
exactly.
We're trying to find out who's right.
Exactly.
We want to
and
know
I
who's
don't agree
right.
With yours.
So if I said, well, in my opinion, and you said it, well, in my opinion, then we're both right because it's our opinions. But we're trying to find out, since you and I have different opinions, who is right. Are you right or am I right? So see if you can answer this. Not in your opinion, but for a woman who's never heard of you and a man who's never heard of you, if he raped that woman, is it absolutely wrong for him to have done that?
I think so, yes.
You're a fool. Now, Rusty?
Yes. I'm a fool because I think it's wrong for him to have raped her.
You are a fool because you are scared to death to answer honestly and straightly whether there's such a thing as right and wrong. And let me tell you why you're afraid of it.
I just did that.
You did not. You said in your opinion, you might think it's wrong to use a salad fork.
I'm not God, man.
You might think it's wrong to use the salad fork on your main course. That's beside the point. We don't care. And you're a coward. You're afraid to answer a simple question about whether it's absolutely wrong for a man to rape a woman. And let me tell you why you're afraid to answer that question.
Oh, you tell me.
Rusty, you don't know why, and I'm going to tell you.
Tell me.
You're afraid to answer that question because the moment you say there is an absolute that stands above my own opinion, then that puts you under that absolute. You're subordinate. You're subject to that absolute. And your life might be judged and you might be found wanting. You might be found guilty by that absolute standard. And so you're afraid to acknowledge that there is a right or wrong because you want to be the standard. You want to be the God by which you judge your own life.
I am the God by which I judge my own
You
life.
Are a homosexual coward fool.
How so?
Because you're afraid. Why don't you tell the audience right now that you think that if a man violently rapes a woman, that is not absolutely wrong. Why don't you go ahead and tell them that?
I said it was wrong.
No.
What did you want me to say?
You said in your opinion. Do you
what
have the courage?
What other opinion do I have?
Rusty, do you have the courage to say that regardless of my opinion, it is absolutely wrong? Do you have the courage to say it's absolutely wrong for a man to rape a woman?
Of course it is absolutely wrong for a man to rape a woman.
Praise the Lord. It took 35 years, Rusty, and you had to be humiliated in public.
I am not humiliated.
Rusty, you just changed the most fundamental view that you've held in all your life.
That isn't true.
Up until 5 minutes ago, you thought there was no such thing as absolute right and absolute wrong.
Of course I did not think that.
Why did you answer that? I asked you, is there such a thing as absolute right and absolute wrong? You said no. And you argue, we argue
in the way you're putting it. There is in the way you're putting it now. Your worldview and my worldview, we seem to agree that raping a woman is absolutely wrong. We agree on that.
Rusty, if you ever get the chance to re-listen to this on the internet at KGOV.com, you should do it and see how absurd you've sounded. And how you've contradicted yourself.
You're only saying that. You sound just as absurd.
Rusty, you've contradicted yourself 4 times in the last 8 minutes. How could I have contradicted myself? I've asked you if it's absolutely wrong to murder Jewish children. I couldn't get a straight answer. Was it absolutely wrong to rape a woman? I couldn't get a straight answer. It took 8 minutes. Rusty, why couldn't you say from the beginning, of course it's absolutely wrong?
Because that's not what you want to use it for. I know what you want to use it for.
What?
You want to mix it up into different issues that don't have nothing to do with each other.
You know what?
And
that's
my view of absolute right and wrong over Nazis.
It doesn't matter your view, Rusty.
View of right and wrong over homosexuality.
Rusty, it doesn't matter your view if we're talking absolutes. If I was never born and if you were never born, okay? I want to clarify because I still really don't know what you believe. If you were never born, would it be absolutely wrong for a man to rape a woman?
Well, I can't answer. You told me not to answer that way.
No,
so
I said if you were never born. When the Germans killed the Jews in World War II, 6 million of them, you were not born. Was it wrong back then?
You want me to judge every single one of the Nazis that existed, no matter why who they were there or what?
No.
I don't have the authority to do that.
Just the Germans who killed Jewish children. Was it absolutely wrong for them to have done that?
I would think so, yes. I think so. Regardless of what anybody else thinks or you think or anybody, I think so, yes.
Before you were born, before you had a thought in your brain, in the cell that you have in your skull, before you had a thought in that brain cell, you were not yet conceived. They killed all these innocent people before you were born. Was it wrong back then?
I think so, yes.
You're
yes,
an
it
idiot.
Was wrong.
Okay, you're an idiot, Rusty. Now, let me ask you this. If it is wrong, Rusty, the Nazi party thought it was right. And there are other people in the world who thought it was wrong.
Right, yeah.
Who in the world are you to tell them that they were wrong? By what standard could you judge that culture and say that culture was wrong?
By my own worldview.
You're
all
a fool.
That I can judge them by.
Rusty, you are shouting to the world that I only accept things according to my subjective personal opinion. And there's not...
Well, isn't that what you do?
No. No, I have...
Don't you base your opinion on the Bible?
Yes, that's not my subjective opinion. The Bible has changed my opinion.
But aren't you aware that there are people that are not Christians?
I have had many ideas that I've humbled myself and submitted my ideas to the Word of God because
right.
I realized that when the Bible says that there is absolute truth
right.
and there is absolute right and wrong, it's correct, even though I grew up believing in evolution.
Right.
And in evolution, one animal eats another animal. It doesn't matter.
Right.
So one human kills another human. It's not an absolute right or wrong.
Right.
It's just relative. And that's the
and
kind
now
of
you have a different view.
That's the kind of mush that's been in your mind for all your life. That's why you're so confused. We're going to go to a break. We'll be back. And hey, I wanted to talk about being on in Texas after this. This is a nice private time with just our audience on the internet. That's it. Because our radio affiliates, they take the feed off of satellite. They take the feed off satellite, and it comes with the news at the bottom of the hour, the three-minute segment. So this is a time where I get to talk just to the people who are in the audience on the internet, on kgov.com. And I'm thrilled. Because I got to thank you guys. Thank you guys for... Now, we went off of TV 3 years ago. We were on in 80 cities. And it's those of you on the internet mostly who have encouraged us through over the last 3 years to continue with the ministry, to continue teaching people about right and wrong, to continue promoting the gospel message that Jesus Christ died for us and rose from the dead for us, that he really did that. And that his death and resurrection could change our lives and save us. And so because of your love and support and encouragement, just ceaselessly, we stuck in there. And now I have the incredible honor of being the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And Bob and Yart Live is back on the radio. And it's growing once again. You know, we started on the radio in Denver in one town, one small radio station. We end up going to TV, going to satellite, going to 12 cities, 50 cities, 80 cities. And it was this phenomenon that happened. And so we pray that the same phenomenon occurs again. We don't know that we'll get to 80 cities, but we hope and pray that the show can grow as far as God blesses us and as far as we can take it. So that's it. I pretty much want to say thank you. Because it's exciting. You know, I'm talking to Rusty right now, and Rusty's on hold. He's listening. And Rusty, he's alive. He's a human being. He's going to live forever, even though he thinks that when he dies, it's over. And it doesn't matter if you're a mass murderer like Hitler or a Mother Teresa. It doesn't matter which, because when you're done, you're done. So if you sexually abuse yourself, others... If you cheat, lie, steal, ultimately it doesn't matter. And, of course, it does matter how you live your life. And so thank you guys for helping us. All right, we're back on. And by the way, I've wanted to talk about being on in Odessa and Midland, Texas, on Quad K out there. We're just so thrilled to be on that radio station. And it shows the growth of Bob and Yart Live. Once again, this is our second time around. We've relaunched this program as a talk show. Last time we hit 80 cities. And now we're up to, what is it, 5? So we're just thrilled to be on in Texas. And we pray that we'll be able to maintain and stay on the air there. So now I'm going to go back to Rusty. And Jerry, I know you're on hold in Tyner, Indiana. And want to talk about Christian kids in public schools. Jerry disagrees with something I said last night. Now, Jerry probably won't disagree with me characterizing us as disagreeing. That's the difference between Jerry and Rusty. But I'm going to go back to Rusty and ask him if the Nazi culture believed it was right to kill Jews, and the Jewish culture believed it was wrong to kill Jews, then how do we judge? How do we judge one culture as compared to another? Rusty?
Yeah.
Could you answer that? How do we judge that one culture is wrong?
How do we judge that one culture is wrong? Yeah. I judge by the results of what happens from what they do. That's what I judge it by.
Right, you judge by the results.
Mm-hmm.
And the results, that's how the Nazis judge also. They judge just like you judge.
Really?
Yeah, and their results...
Well, that's interesting. Huh.
Their results are that they didn't like Jews, just like certain animals don't like other animals. And certain, you know, wolves or dogs might keep other wolves out of their territory. And if they come on their territory, they might fight and kill them. And the Nazis judged their success by how many Jews they killed. And the more they killed, the more successful they felt that they were. So they also judge by the outcome. And so what tells us that your criteria is better than their criteria?
What was the results of their actions?
The results of their actions?
With 6 million killed Jews, correct?
Nazi Germany went from destitute poverty to today, a short half century later, after thousands of years, just a half century later, they're one of the most prosperous nations in the world.
So you're saying that was the results of Nazi rule?
Well, that's the result of World War II. What I'm showing again is...
You're talking like a white supremacist.
I'm showing again the ignorance of your methodology.
No, the results of what they did, in my opinion, is the death of 6 million Jews.
Yeah, but that was that. They were looking for that result. That meant they were succeeding.
That's what makes... Yeah, but it doesn't make them look successful.
But it doesn't
to me. It
say,
makes them look like murderers to me.
Well, to you, but not to them.
Exactly.
And we're trying to find out if they were absolutely wrong.
And then you say that my opinion doesn't matter.
Rusty,
so my view of the results of what they did doesn't matter.
I have to make a decision whether you're either incapable of understanding this discussion and my basic question, or if you're afraid to. And the conclusion I've come to is that you do have the intellect to understand my questions, but you're afraid of admitting a righteous standard above yourself. You're scared to death of God.
Because mine would not be the same as yours.
Okay, Rusty, I'm going to give you the last word. Because you've gone off the dial. We have an idiot chart here. You've gone off
right,
the dial.
Right, and you discuss Nazis instead of homosexuals, which is what I called
all right.
about.
All right.
And it's RedRusty66 is my Yahoo ID if anybody wants to really discuss that.
All right, Yahoo.
And,
all right, Yahoo. Let's go to Indiana. And let's see, line three here. Tyner, Indiana. Hey, Jerry, I hope you don't give me as difficult a problem as Rusty did.
No, I'm praying for Rusty.
Good. I'm glad you're praying for him. And we will pray for him, too. You know, there are new listeners to Bob and Yurt Live who will say, there's no way you can ever reach Rusty because of how rude you were to him, Bob, and how you called him names. But in the Bible, the wicked are called names at times. They're right. called fools and whores and whoremongers and worse things than that. And at times, if you know someone is a fool, when the Bible says the fool says there is no God, and you're talking to a fool and you don't tell him, that's rather rude of you not to let him know that godly people think he is a fool. But I'm sorry, Jerry. I'm all worked up.
Well, that's okay. That's okay, Bob. You are anointed for confrontational ministry, and I'm very happy that you're out there. There aren't very many people like that.
Well, thank you.
And we need more of them. But the point I took issue with last night was children in public school. But first of all, I want to tell you that I absolutely agree with you about public school.
Okay.
It's an awful place.
Yeah.
I don't like it at all.
Right.
My daughter is in there.
Oh, boy. How old is she?
She's 17.
Oh, boy. All right.
She's in 11th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why she's in there. When she first came to live with me, I struggled with that because my church has just started a Christian school.
Hmm.
And she wanted to go to the public school because that's where her friends were. She's only got another year to go. And I'm struggling with this because
mm-hmm.
I'm on your side. I didn't want her to go, but she wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to just smash my authority in her face and make her go. Because I didn't feel like that was right either. So I struggled with that. And last night you made a reference to Mr. Dobson.
Yeah.
Well, I was listening to Mr. Dobson once, and he had...
He's pretty pro-public schools.
Well...
Dobson is pro-public school.
Okay.
And he's pro-public school teachers.
I understand. Okay. Okay. Yeah. He said that we need good Christian kids in public school, and I agree with that.
Well, you know where we need them more? We need them more in the houses of ill repute. Because in the houses of prostitution in this country, there's really a deep need.
Right.
So
I agree with you.
Wherever
I knew you were going to eat me alive on this, Bob.
Yeah. Jerry, and it's so easy to do.
Right.
Because you don't
before,
offer
before
your...
you do, let me tell you what happened tonight.
Yeah.
Okay, tonight was an extremely important night.
All right.
Because my daughter brought two kids from school to church.
Yeah.
To the youth group tonight.
Right.
One of them got saved.
Praise the Lord.
And filled with the Holy Spirit, and she was formerly in Wicca. She could have went either way.
Yeah,
but
you're
we
not...
we brought her in.
You're not kidding.
It
praise
was because
the Lord.
A Christian kid was in the public school to help her. That's why. And
well, you know
I would not just send her up there and say, you know, God's going to take care of it.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. We are in Christian counseling. We go to two different counselors. We're in cell groups.
Yeah.
We pray for her often.
Yeah.
In fact, we did that tonight in a cell group I had tonight.
Jerry?
So, yes?
Let's say there's 500 people out there that are on the fence listening to this right now.
Okay.
Parents who are trying to decide whether... should they put their kids in a godless education system, or should they have them raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord?
Right.
Godless education system or a godly education for their children? And they hear Jerry, and let's say two scenarios. One, you persuade all 500, and they all put their kids in public school. Now, and the other scenario is I persuade them, and they all take the kids out of public school.
Well, the kids would grow up better.
Well, let me ask you this. The 500 that you've persuaded that the public school is a good place for Christian kids.
I didn't say that, Bob. I didn't say it was a good place for Christian kids.
Hmm? Well, if the Christian kids aren't there, the other students are going to go to hell.
Well,
so if you love... if you love your neighbor, you're willing to sacrifice your own child's improved chance of growing up morally because you love your neighbor. So if you love your neighbor, we all want our neighbor's kids to go to heaven.
Right, right.
So then the Christian kids could be sacrificed if necessary. Whatever the risk is to them, it's a worthwhile risk.
No, there's no risk.
There's no risk?
Now, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say there's no risk to everybody. I'm saying that I am absolutely certain that my daughter is not going to be swayed in the wrong direction.
Oh, boy, Jerry. Well, let me ask you this. Let me finish, and then we'll talk about your daughter.
Okay.
Let's say you persuade 500 families, they each have an average of 3 kids that go to public schools.
Mm-hmm.
So now we could ask the public school graduates out there, how many kids is that total? And about 60% of them would know, it's 1,500 kids.
Right.
So of those 1,500 kids, what percentage of them do you think would have a damning influence throughout their public school careers? A small percentage or a major percentage?
I'm afraid to answer that, Bob. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I could answer from my experience of talking to hundreds, if not 1,000 families, Christian families with their kids in public school, and the heartache and the pain and the nightmares, stories they've told me, I'd say major. I would say a huge majority of those young girls age 7, 8, 9, 10, you put them in public schools, and by the time they're 16 and 17, they'll be having sex. And when I went to public high school, with all the Christian kids that were in the Christian youth groups and going to the public high school, you know what they were all doing?
What?
They were all having sex.
Okay.
They were all having sex because the public schools dangle the pleasures of sexual immorality in front of the eyes of the kids.
Well,
they teach the kids how to have sex. They teach us.
Okay.
And so you're saying that my daughter, the Bible says, if you think you stand, take heed lest you fall.
Right.
You're saying that I've done such a good job as a father.
I did a lousy job as a father.
Well, then.
No, I've only been a Christian since 97.
Hmm.
So.
Jerry, you heard me talk about that mom who called up in tears.
Yeah.
Saying we left our
oldest... Yeah, that brought tears in my eyes. That was an awful thing.
Yeah, we left my oldest daughter in the public school because she was such a strong Christian.
Right.
She wanted to be there to minister to her friends, and she just moved in with her lesbian girlfriend.
Right.
And that's, Jerry, that's not unique. That's characteristic of the heartache that I've heard. And, well, then last question for you.
Okay.
What do you think about God in a Jewish family in the Old Testament? And the Jewish family sends their kids on the Philistine chariot to a Philistine school.
Well, I don't think that would be a very good idea.
Do you think God would utterly despise them doing that?
However, that does happen today. There's a program in Israel until Arafat stopped it where Philistine and Israeli children did summer camps together.
Jerry, that's not what I'm talking about, right? I'm happy to have Palestinian kids come to our church.
Right.
I'm happy to have them come to our home, our studio, and teach them. But I will not have my children go and be raised in a godless curriculum. Because I don't have the time in my life to counteract all the destructive forces.
Okay.
So, Jerry, I pray that the 500 families listening on the fence, I pray that they don't find your argument persuasive.
Well, I do too, Bob.
All right.
I don't want bad things to happen to them.
Exactly.
Right.
Jerry, I got to go to a break. Thank you. I'm glad we agreed.
Can I talk to you some more?
Yeah.
We all know Bob Enyard is America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. But even Bob is pro-choice sometimes. Not when it comes to which baby should live and which baby should die, but when it comes to three different products you can receive for $24.95 a month. The first product is the monthly Bible study. Bob has presented the Word of God to his Bible study group here in Denver for over 5 years. You can benefit from Bob's years of study and teaching by signing up today. Choice number two is Denver Bible Church's monthly sermons. Each month you'll receive 4 sermons Bob delivered at our church home here in Denver. These sermons are not even available on the web, so this is your only opportunity to hear them. And the final choice is the weekly Worldview. Doug McBurney, who sits in with Bob on Friday nights, goes solo once a week on his own show, The Weekly Worldview. We'll send you each one of Doug's shows with his irreverent and hilarious take on the news of the day. So whether you choose the monthly Bible study, the Sunday morning sermons, or the weekly Worldview, it's only $24.95 a month. Please remember, it's your financial support that keeps this ministry going.
Do you need a quick update on Bob's political and biblical views, or do you just want to share Bob Enyard's teachings with others easily? Whatever you need, the article pack we offer here at KGOV.com is right for you. It deals with everyday issues like nicer-than-God Christians, miracles, judging, a Christian response to terrorist attacks, and more. So whether you want to spread the word or just get a simple and quick understanding of Bob's ministries, the $5 article pack is right for you.
Welcome back. Bob and you're live. 1-800-8-NYARP, but the lines are full. Just remember that for in the future. And got an instant message here. We got a bunch of them at kgovlive@aol.com. And that you can find these shows and an archive of years of shows at kgov.com. Instant message here, Bob 21, Rusty 0. Now, that's nice and brief. We like that in instant messages. All right, real quickly, we'll get through a few calls. Oh, and that we're on in Texas. We pray that we could stay on the Quad K radio station in Odessa, Midland, Texas. We pray we could stay on. But airtime radio stations don't run for free. And so if you'd like to keep the show on, I ask you to call us and help us to underwrite it with a monthly commitment of whatever you can do, $50, $100 a month, if you can, 10 or 20, just to stay on the air in Odessa, Midland, Texas. All right, let's go to South Bend, Indiana. Paula Johnson. Paula, I shouldn't say your last name, Paula. Hi, Paula.
Hi.
What's up?
I was calling to answer the question that you asked earlier in the show.
Yes, thank you.
About what the Bible says about if someone breaks in your house.
Yes.
I found it in Exodus chapter 22, just reading out of the New King James Version.
Paula, you're good. Okay, tell us in your own words, what's the answer? Are you guilty if someone breaks into your home?
No, you're not.
And you kill them?
No, you're not.
You're not guilty?
No.
And is there more to it than that?
Well, from what I read, no.
Okay.
Well, they had no business coming in your house.
Okay, Exodus 22:2, you're not guilty.
Yes.
22:3, you are guilty. So read the next verse.
Okay, if the son has...
Wait. Read it to yourself while I give a warning for the liberals.
Okay.
Warning, Will Robinson. There are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we at Bob and Yurt Live know that you would censor any Bible verse that anyone dared to read in public. So this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Okay, Paula, go ahead. Read the first sentence of Exodus 22:3.
Okay. If the sun has risen on him, there shall be guilt for his bloodshed.
Right. Now, Exodus 22:2 says if somebody's breaking into your home and he is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed unless it's during the day. So God says at night you could kill him and during the day you can't. Now, what does that mean? Well, God is laying out a principle of if you're trying to stop a crime or defend your family or protect yourself, you don't have carte blanche to kill someone just because they're committing a crime. Let's say somebody's trying to pick your pocket, and so you hit him in the head with a baseball bat and kill him. That's not justified. But if someone is seriously threatening your life or limb, seriously threatening someone in your family, then you do have the right to use lethal force if necessary, and you could kill him in self-defense. But here's the bit about the night versus the day. Somebody's breaking into your home. It's nighttime. They didn't have electric lights back then. You're sleeping. You get up, and there's someone in your house, and there might be a struggle, or you take a stick, and you hit him in the head, and you kill him. Now, compare that to it's lunchtime, and you see the punk from next door sneaking in your back door, and he grabs your wallet off the table, and he's going to leave, and you pull a gun, and you shoot him and kill him. You see the difference? So God lays out the principle of the escalation of force when necessary to defend yourself or to stop a crime. Paula, thank you for knowing right where that was.
Okay.
God bless you.
You too.
Thanks so much. Now, also in South Bend, real quick, Dean, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Howdy.
Great program.
Thanks, sir.
Quick question for you, or a couple quick things.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about doing a radio fruitcake?
Oh, what a good idea! We have a video fruitcake that people in Texas don't know about. It's a video we've sold for years called Video Fruitcake. You buy it, and at Christmas time, you send it to one of your relatives. Instead of sending a regular fruitcake that they put in the freezer and send back to you a year later, send them a video fruitcake of the most moronic callers ever to call into Bob and Yurt Live.
And I think you had your first radio fruitcake tonight.
I think you're right, Rusty.
Hey, I'll buy a copy. I'll have one for my video and one for my radio.
Well, I'm going to tell we have an associate producer here right now, and I'll suggest that he flag the tape with the first caller for a radio fruitcake.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, this school vouchers and everything that the communist Republicans are pushing?
Well, yeah, Republicans do promote school vouchers.
Right.
Which is where you can take money by force from your neighbor to use it to educate your own kids.
Yeah, and instead of doing that, why don't they just write it in the laws where it's like if you send your kid to a private school, you don't owe that corresponding amount to the public school.
Well, right. Whenever we decrease taxes, it's a good thing. Not down to zero, but from the 50% they're at now. So, yeah, Republicans, they could certainly find ways to get rid of taxes. You know, they could fight for that stuff. But to say that the government will help me take money by force from my neighbors and pay for my kids' education, that's what God calls stealing. God said, thou shalt not steal.
Right.
You don't take money from your neighbors to pay for your for the things that you'd rather not pay for. So, hey, thank you, Dean.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. Now we're going to go back to Jerry because he's on. He wanted to say something else. So let's give him that chance. And I really appreciate Jerry. And hey, Jerry, you're back.
Hi, Bob.
Howdy.
Hi, Bob. Just one quick thing. One reason why I listen to you and like you so much is 3 years ago you said one thing on your TV program that nobody else ever said. You said, one, I don't have to agree with you. So that took some of the arrogance out of it and left me the room to think a little bit.
Of course, right. Certain. Okay. I mean, you know, some people might listen to the show and say, well, he thinks he knows it all.
Right.
But of course, I'm an infallible man like every other man. But, you know, everybody, when they're arguing, everybody thinks they're right. Rusty thought he was right. I thought I'm right.
Okay, well, I just wanted to say, when I went to public school, if I walked into the schoolroom and I said God, I didn't have to worry about teachers. I didn't have to worry about the ACLU or principals. I had the other kids to worry about.
Hmm.
Now it's not like that as much.
Right.
I think it's improving. And I think it's improving because of people like you, Bob.
Well,
you're doing great.
That's very,
I love you.
Very kind of you,
Jerry. And I'm going to keep listening.
Jerry, God bless you. You know, your daughter, she's pretty much an adult. She's practically an adult. And, you know, her character is mostly formed. But, of course, even in this last time, there's plenty of opportunity to destroy yourself as a senior in high school.
I understand that.
There's plenty of opportunity. But, Jerry, thank you for calling.
Okay. Maybe on another call sometime we can talk about that forgiveness deal you were talking about last night.
Let's do that.
Okay.
I'd be thrilled.
Bob. Bye.
Thank you, Jerry. Bye. Yeah, forgiveness. That God said in the Bible, Jesus said, that if someone sins against you, what did he say? I'm asking the studio audience. They're all saying forgive him. Jesus said if somebody sins against you, forgive him? Where did he say that? He didn't say that. No, Esther 2:8. Jesus wasn't even quoted in Esther. Esther's like the only book in the Bible you go to that doesn't even mention God, and you say Jesus is quoted in there. Second Esther. There is no second Esther. You guys are you're not nearly as bad as Rusty. But Jesus said in Luke 17:3, he said, if somebody sins against you, he said, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he repents. Okay. Oh, brother. I didn't get to the news. The North Buffalo guy in New York he's been convicted of felony abortion because he beat his pregnant girlfriend to kill his own baby. What do you think they're going to do to him? What would God say to do to him? You see, when you're weak on the death penalty, you undermine the gospel of Jesus Christ because God demands the death penalty. And God never he didn't give us on earth the authority to forgive people's sins when they sin against someone else. People sin against someone else, then that other person could forgive them if they repent. When people sin against you, you could forgive them if they repent. So somebody murders your neighbor. What are you, God, that you think you could forgive that person? God could forgive that guy. When King David murdered Uriah the Hittite, God could forgive him, but Bathsheba couldn't forgive him of the murder. Huh. And Christians are told, well, you're not being very Christian. You're not being very Christian because you're not forgiving Andrea Yates. She didn't murder me. Her debt isn't to me. It's to God and her children. Oh. Christian cliches turn Christians into little gods. Little gods. And, well, they become nicer than God. Hey, so maybe tomorrow night's show, a couple of you can join our debriefing on Rusty's call. Maybe you could help us analyze Rusty's call with asking the simple question, with him incapable of understanding the concept of absolutes aside from his own subjective opinion. Hey, this is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.